What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you to the first September edition of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdahl, C70 at C70. And with me, as always, is Alan Medlock of Red Dirt, Red Bird, and A Medlock 1 on Twitter. The Cardinals have had, well, an interesting week since we last spoke. They lost their first series in 11 tries to the Reds. And then, which is the team that they lost to at the beginning of this, right before the beginning of the streak. So if you take out Red Series, the Cardinals are doing pretty well. And then they won a series, a very interesting series, I guess, against the Nationals. Alan, the Cardinals coming into play as we're recording this Friday, around noon. They come into today's games, 78-62, 5 games behind the Cubs. They're a half a game behind the Brewers, and they're 2 games clear of the Dodgers for the last wild card spot. It's good. Could have been better. I don't know. We saw a lot of angst this week, and it's just maybe a little bit different feel around the team right now than there was when they were just running off wins all over the place.
Yeah, there's a sign of vulnerability, and I think a lot of it is the regression of the bullpen. I think some guys are hitting a wall. I don't think the situation would look so dire if it didn't echo a lot of the things we saw at the first half of the season. A lot of the young guys, you kind of start to worry if a little overexposure. You kind of worry about Norris, who as a reliever in his career in the last 3-4 years has shown that he kind of fades toward the end of the season. So I think there's a lot of keeping your head above water right now for Schilt, and kind of just picking his spots and where to go, where he's throwing guys. And I think that some of these things that we think are maybe bad choices are maybe the only choices he has to make, because those are the only guys that are fresh. So I'm hoping that they can kind of make right in Detroit. They did win the that's, it was interesting. Every game probably should have swept it, but just blew a few leads and couldn't get Harper out. But in the walks were a major issue. So hopefully that the day off is a reset. Gomber can set the tone tonight, and they can go in there and win another series, get back home, and kind of build up for Wainwright on Monday, and just keep on to that lead. You know, every game now that you can win, whether it gains you a game or not, that's another game off the schedule. So hopefully they can maintain that, and I think that they probably will.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps that they're in the position that they're in. They're not like they were most of the year trying to chase people down. I mean, they're in the playoffs as of right now. Now, obviously, you'd rather not be in that wild card spot, but I don't think that's possible anymore. This time last week, we were talking about how the Cardinals might be able to catch the Cubs and kind of sneak up on them as they had gotten to within 2.5 at some point in time. But losing that series against Cincinnati, you're, like you say, you're 5 games back now. And yeah, I know everybody likes to point to that 3-game series at the end of the year, which is important, but even if you cut off 2 games, even if you cut off 3, you really have to cut off, you have to get to that series down 1 game for that series, for a sweep of that series, or you have to do less than a sweep, okay, let's put it that way. If you're at two games. If you're at three games, you still have to sweep it. If you're at three games and you sweep, then you have a playoff game. You're asking a lot for that. Even, you know, especially if the Cubs are playing, you know, you could go in there and sweep the Cubs if they've already clinched, maybe, but sweeping them when they're playing for the same thing that the Cardinals are playing is asking a lot. And it's just, there's just not enough time left. I mean, if this team had played like they played in August all year long, then they'd be up by 10 games and we wouldn't worry about it. But there's just not enough time, I don't think, to catch the Cubs without some sort of major collapse by them. And I, you know, for the fact that I don't think that they're necessarily world beaters, or are they necessarily 5 games better than this current Cardinal team, they're a good team, and they're going to win a majority of the games that are left, and that means you pretty much have to win like all the games that are left. And you know, winning 20 in a row only happens once every decade or so. So don't think that's gonna happen. We did see some angst at the end of the bullpen, and you talked about that with the young arms hitting the wall. And there's, you want to talk about that some more in a minute, but the arm that was the most problematic this week was from a veteran, and that was Bud Norris, who gave up 2 home runs against the Reds in extra innings on Sunday, which led to the Cardinals losing. Not entirely the problem, but that was the biggest, a big chunk of what the, how they lost. And then on Monday, had 2 outs, gave up the 2-run home run to Bryce Harper and sent that game into extra innings where the Cardinals eventually lost. Yeah. How concerned are you? I mean, we obviously saw some different people closing games this week for a number of reasons, but how concerned are you about, one, about Bud Norris, and two, about how Bud Norris might be used going forward?
Concern level, probably a 7. Maybe not that high. Probably about a 6, 6.5 out of 10. And I, just because when you looked back, I wondered about that. I didn't think that he had the issues that he had. You know, last year I just kind of assumed that the second half was due to knee injury. Mm. And that, that may have slowed him down a little bit, but he has faded in the second half as long as he's been a reliever. You know, I think it was pointed out by quite a few guys online that he's just completely lost command and doesn't hit his spots at all. And that, which is a big sign of fatigue. I like the fact that this is where Martinez becomes so important in the bullpen, just because he was filthy the other night to win that game. And that's a multiple inning closer that you have. That's just such a good option. So I would like to see him get a few more chances. I think that they're probably going to play matchups a little bit more than they had in the past, where they can get to that 8th and 9th and figure those were the names that, that they would shoe in. I think you're probably going to see Martinez get some few save chances, and I think Hicks will probably get more. I think they're going to pick and choose their spots with Norris, but I'm concerned. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and I really like Norris, but you know, as things were pointed out, and then you kind of look through the numbers a little bit, and he was kind of playing with house money a little bit. So I would like to see him. I love the veteran relievers. I know I say that all the time on the show. So I'd like to see a bounce back, and I expect that he will. And maybe we'll see him more in less stressful situations, you know, the 7th and the 8th, a little bit more than the 9th, you know, the do or die 9th. So I where my level is high, I'm still pretty positive that he'll come out of it. And I trust in Schilt to use him where it would be beneficial to Norris.
I think that if it wasn't for the walk issues and the control issues, I wouldn't be as concerned. I mean, he had 2 games where he gave up home runs, and that's bad. But you look at the Dodgers and Kelsey Jansen, you know, when the Cardinals went out there and beat him twice with home runs in the same series. And, you know, granted, he was on medication and we didn't know, but still, I don't think the Dodgers immediately jumped to the conclusion that they needed to get rid of him, and, you know, these things happen. Now, the command is an issue. It was maybe telling, I don't know, that Norris used some of this time to watch video and kind of thinks he found a mechanical issue. I guess we'll see. I still expect that, you know, tonight's the first day that Morris is really available. They really pushed him hard on Sunday and Monday, and Shield had said he would not be available until today. I expect that if there's a safe situation tonight, that he'll probably get it. He may have a short leash. It may be that if the first guy gets on, that they've got people warming. I don't know. But I expect he will get that and at least get a chance to see what he can do, especially against the Tigers team that isn't necessarily all that great. But I am interested to, I mean, kind of Shield kind of left the door open for almost a mix and match type of thing, or of, you know, Norris might close this night and Hicks might close this night.
Sure.
And Martinez might close this one. And I would like to see them do that. I mean, there's been some indications that pitchers like their roles and stuff, but you know, we've talked about it, and I know Rusty wrote about both Hicks and Martinez as closer this week at the Conclave. You know, Hicks is still, I like Hicks, but I still don't necessarily trust him completely at times. I mean, there's times he's just great and times where it's like, yeah, I don't know, you know, where's the ball gonna go? And that's a little bit scary for a closer. Obviously, he can do the job. He did it fine on Tuesday night and got the save then. I get a look at third. I like Carlos Martinez in that spot, but like, and Rusty pointed out, his home run rate is a little higher than maybe you'd like as a closer. So nobody's perfect in this spot, and we know that. But let's, you know, maybe they can rotate these guys around and not necessarily have that fixed usage, and we'll see. And if that's the case, maybe that means Norris gets a save one night and is in the seventh and, you know, two nights later or something like that.
Sure.
You know, and as long as the team's winning, I think the players will buy into that. But, I'm interested to see if that's the case. Because there were some talk this week about Schilt's usage of the bullpen or the starters as well, just pitching usage in general. As we kind of saw some of the, I think a lot of people like to say it was kind of, we saw some of the same things that we saw with Mike Matheny about sticking with a guy too long or making, you know, trying to get a guy through certain things. And there's some of that, although again, you know, Shields better about kind of understanding and explaining and looking at the numbers, I think. I'm still going to give him a little bit more of a benefit of the doubt just because it's been a few weeks versus, you know, 7 years for Mike Matheny, but there were some questions. I mean, we watched Dakota Hudson Wednesday night stay out there well longer than I would have thought. And yeah, I just wonder how much of this is managerial philosophy. How much of this is just their guys down there that are really gassed?
Well, that's my number one concern is how many guys are off limits that we don't know, because you and I had that conversation to where, well, at one point in the series, and I can't remember if it was the end of Cincinnati or the first of Washington, where there was basically three arms that they couldn't touch.
Mm-hmm.
Just due to overuse at that point. And then you saw Hudson come back, and there may be an element of, hey, let's find the best matchups for him to get this right. But I don't know if he wasn't overexposed a little bit just because they didn't have anyone else. So I don't know. I'm concerned about that. But that gets to a point that I was wanting to make too, is the phrase, things seem to work themselves out. Is that phrase undefeated? Because it always seems to be right. Because think about it. We were, a month ago, you and I were basically, and everybody was basically writing off Walker and Wainwright. Well, Wainwright coming back Monday and Walker possibly coming back is a huge lift at this point. Because now you're going to move some of these arms back into the bullpen, which some of the other arms that are out there may be a little overexposed. You get some veteran arms that are going to get you 4 to 5 innings and possibly into the seventh, which a lot of guys haven't been able to do, well, then that just builds your strength from the back. So to where we thought some of these guys were done maybe career-wise and definitely season-wise, now you're really thinking, okay, this could be the beauty of this situation to where they get back within these next 2 weeks and you get even stronger. So I just start laughing to where almost every time you hear that, things seem to work themselves out, that it's always right. Something happens. And even in a situation like this where you think, well, you automatically want to think, well, someone got hurt, that's where it fits in. Well, the overall bullpen situation right now is not real strong, to where now that wasn't the case, you know, 2 weeks ago, to where Wainwright getting back is going to make that stronger, and there's going to be a spot for him now. So I don't know. It's interesting how that all seems to work out, and it may not be as direct as we're used to, but it's definitely a factor in this.
Yeah, I mean, it should help. I mean, it's, of course, that's gonna rely on Adam Wainwright and Michael Wacha being what we think they can be. I mean, Adam Wainwright has looked good in his rehab, but he also hasn't necessarily faced major league hitting yet. And we'll see, I mean, a team in Pittsburgh that has seen him a number of times, at least the franchise has. I don't know about some of the players, but, you know, we'll probably have an idea of how to approach him versus maybe like if he had gone Sunday against the Tigers, that would have that extra layer of unfamiliarity against him. You know, I don't know. I'm very interested to see how his return is, and we'll see how Wacha, when he's comes back, and I don't know when that is. They sent him back on the rehab, yesterday, I think, maybe? I can't remember when he pitched or moved.
Well, he throws in Memphis tomorrow night.
That's it. He's pitching tomorrow. Yeah. He sent him back down, but he hadn't gone yet. He hadn't pitched yet. He'll pitch tomorrow night in the Triple A playoffs. You know, if he pitches well there, you know, you're looking at what, next week, on that homestand for him returning. And you're right. I mean, if that's the case, and if you can push some of those guys that are in the rotation out there to the bullpen, and help those arms not have to be used as much, I mean, that all works out well. But, cause I mean, I don't know that anybody doesn't look at what Dakota Hudson's doing and say, he doesn't have anything right now.
Well, yeah. That's and you're exactly right. Not to cut you off, but I think that his past four or five performances has put him in question of being on a playoff roster. And that you never would have said that, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, you're running, you know, they are. They've talked about how they're managing Jack Flaherty's innings and, you know, how many innings they want him to throw. And, you know, they've added this six-man. They added Adam Wainwright into this. They're going to have a six-man rotation throughout the rest of the year to try to do that. But, you know, Dakota's pitched 19 innings in the big leagues. He threw 111 in Memphis. So he's really close to the pace that he had last year, but I gotta wonder, you know, I don't know. I've gotta wonder how much extra stress it is to be pitching every 2 days, every, you know, get a day of rest, pitch again. I mean, it's other than being on that five-man rotation, you know, every 4 days, going every fifth day and getting that rest in between. Does, you know, even though he's throwing the same number of innings, is the change in workload becoming a problem for him? I don't know. And it may just be a little bit of a dead arm period that, you know,
sure,
you know, he, with these other arms, if you can give him a few more days of rest and he'll be able to bounce back a little bit, that's possible. But it just seems to me, he's a guy, again, we've talked about him before, how even in the minor leagues, he didn't have a very high strikeout rate. And while he struck out, of course, his first two batters he ever saw in the big leagues, just to mess with that. you know, right now he's walked 13 and struck out 11 in 19 innings. The strikeouts aren't necessarily there, and I feel like, you know, if people are putting contact on his stuff, then that's just going to add to problems. You know, that adds to innings, that adds to, you know, he's given up 12 hits. He's got the 13 walks. So that's 25 base runners in 19 innings. You know, that's going to wear on you. I mean, even if you have a, you know, a good, you know, able to work out of it, those extra stressful inning and pitches aren't going to help. And you don't have that strikeout to get you out of an inning. So I worry about him as a reliever. I worry about sometimes the use they've used him in, you know, like in Washington, where he comes into an inning and there's already runners on, and then he makes it worse. I don't know. And I don't know if, I don't have as much information as they do. They know their players, their people and all that much better than I do. But, you know, he's just, everybody else in that bullpen, you know, you're hit or miss with Leon, you're hit and miss with Cecil. Most everybody else you feel okay about. I mean, even if you're not overly confident, you feel okay about. But Hudson, for me, is just a guy that I get a little worried when he comes into the ballgame.
Yeah, and that's I can't remember when they were on the West Coast, and you had mentioned that to me. Or it's like maybe it ain't even been Colorado. I can't remember, but yeah, I think that's kind of the that may be the overwhelming opinion right now of him, and you kind of feel bad just as dominant as he was. So that's whenever the National Series made me really think. I was like, you know what, his last four or five performances, he's really put himself in a position of there's gonna be a question mark. Whenever they got to limit what's out there, you know, in any on any playoff type roster, so it's definitely concerning, and it'll be interesting to see how they play that. And I also wonder too. You're just like I don't know. I mean, is we haven't seen Ponce de Leon since his start, correct?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, so.
And that may be another situation where they're trying to save some innings, but I'm like, yeah, I know you mentioned it. That's a little surprising.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, yeah, I do worry about overall bullpen health.
Yeah, I mean, and these guys, not only are they getting deeper into innings, into season than maybe they have before, because a lot of these guys haven't pitched in September, or if they haven't pitched very deep. They've used it as playoffs or whatever. But not only that, they're getting more of a book in the big leagues, and that means other teams have a lot more exposure to them. And you know, even if they haven't seen a team before, there's a lot more video, there's a lot more scouting on them, and teams can have a plan, you know, and it's, you can, people adjust, and now maybe it's their time to adjust. I don't know. It's good that September's here with, you have a whole bunch of different arms, and you can do things like, you know, pull the starter and, you know, have somebody like Tyson Ross come in for a couple innings and then kind of go mix and match if you need to. But you're right. I mean, when it comes to playoff roster time, and you have to look at 25 men, and you're looking at, you know, what, 13 relievers or, you know, 13 pitchers or whatever it's going to be, and however that breakdown's going to be, you know, figuring out how those, who's going to be there, and then how you're necessarily going to use them may be an interesting chore. So, but that's a bridge we'll cross when we get there.
Exactly. I think that's one of the good problems to have.
Yeah. And then hopefully it will be. We talk a lot about this week, and in two key situations stand out because, you know, the Cardinals went, you know, they lost, they went 3-3, I guess. They lost to the Reds, they won to the, but they could have easily swept the Nationals and won against the Reds. We could have been talking about, you know, one loss, and, you know, maybe we're a little bit more considerate of the division at that point in time because the Cardinals would be two games closer to the Cubs. They had a situation on Sunday in the ninth, tie game, bases loaded, nobody out, don't score. Game on Monday in the, I think it was the top of the ninth, top of the eighth, one time late in the game, bases loaded, nobody out, they don't score. Which are frustrating things that also make us start thinking about the beginning of the year. The player that was involved in both of those was Jose Martinez, who kind of came out of it a little bit Wednesday with a 3-for-5, but he looked like he was looking kind of, I don't know if he got, if the batting race idea got into his head or what, but he just did not look good over that, you know, that last weekend.
No, that was a few of the worst at bats of the year, you know, in a couple of situations. And that, you know what, right about the time where I start bragging, thinking, hey, where I was thinking his defense was such a liability, he has, you know, he started to lock down that three spot and perform well. Well, then whenever you hang your hat on that, he falls off the face of the earth. So yeah, I don't know. That's a spot that kind of concerns me a little bit. I'm hoping the day off does him well. I'm going to, one thing. I want to see how they handle the designated hitter tonight. Because they have several options about how they can do it. I just wonder where Martinez fits into that. Of course, if this slump is kind of exposed now, but if it was in the middle of the season, we probably wouldn't have thought so much about it. But yeah, I mean, to where I thought, okay, this guy can just flat hit. You know, I play him in right. He makes the lineup better, to where I was like, ooh, a couple times over the last six games or so.
Yeah, and I mean, those moments got to, you know, highlighted. You know, if the Cardinals hold on to the game on Monday, you don't worry about that situation as much. If they able to, you know, if Marcelo Zuna comes behind him on Sunday, mm-hmm. and it's a fly ball that, you know, scores the run, you don't look at it so much. So it was just, you know, there were some situations, some circumstances around that that caused some of that problem. And again, like I say, 3-for-5 last night or Wednesday night. Good chance that he's probably just coming around. I expect to see him as a designated hitter tonight. You put O'Neill and Bader out in the outfield.
Put Adams first? Is that what you're assuming?
Probably.
That's what I was. I figured that's exactly how it will go.
Probably Adams first, Carpenter third, Wong is going to be back tonight for second. I almost hate to have Yair.
I agree.
Munoz out, completely agree with that, because he has done well as of late, and you almost kind of want to have his bat there, but. You know, maybe he plays third and Carpenter stays at first. That's possible. Even though Adams hit the two home runs on Wednesday, he hadn't necessarily done a whole lot before then. So, you know, I don't know. There could be matchup issues. There could be, you know, people that have done well, people that have some experience just in.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it though, Daniel, they do have a lefty going tonight.
Yeah.
So I would assume that means that, that Munoz is definitely in the lineup. So.
Yeah. He'll probably play third then, and Carpenter will go to first. I still think they'll play Wong because he's been out, and I think they want to get him back in the lineup and see if he is back and continues. So, look, you're going to play a Detroit team that's 57-63 or 8-83. I mean, that. And sadly is still sitting in third place.
I was looking at that yesterday.
American League Central is so, so bad. But yeah, so you gotta, I mean, again, you never want to go in and say you should sweep a series, but man, losing a game this weekend, that's gonna kind of hurt, I think, to some degree.
If you lose the series, it'd be probably pretty bad. They've played a little bit better. And then you always go in. Yeah, they're not very good. But sometimes you don't. I don't know what their lineup is, to be honest with you, day in, day out. I don't know how young they are right now. So some of those teams can be dangerous. I'm a little worried about this weekend. So that's what I'm just kind of thinking. Just get in there and you win the series. You know, try not to lose any ground. I'll be happy with that. You always seem like you're walking into the trap where it seems like it's a one-sided matchup against an American League team in an American League city. Yeah. I'm a little concerned about it. And you do have Fulmer on Sunday.
Yeah, so that's true.
You know, so that's, I don't know, I'm a little concerned. That's why I'm hoping that Gomber can set the tone this weekend, because I've got to feel the same about Detroit like I did Kansas City. Kansas City, but being more of the rivalry series, you never know where that's going to go, but then they kind of outclass them, and I'm kind of hoping that's what they did this weekend. But yeah, there is a little bit of concern that from me this weekend about how things will turn out.
I mean, I pull up the box score for the Tigers in their last game against the White Sox. I look at that, and I'm like, you know, of course, I don't follow the American League. I don't follow these teams very much. But, you know, the only names that stand out to me are Victor Martinez, who I'm pretty much sure is kind of a shell of what he used to be.
Sure. He's on the retirement tour. I know that.
Yeah. Brian McCann, who's hitting 222 on the season. And that's really about it. I mean, there's a lot of names that I'm not saying that they're rookies. I think that Matt Took, I kind of recognize that name. And Nick Castellanos is in there, which is probably their big guy right now. You know, just looking at the batting averages, if nothing else. I don't know much about the Tigers. I feel like you're right. I mean, there's always a trap. There's always that opportunity that, you know, you lose a close game on Friday night and then you run into their best pitcher on Sunday. But the Cardinals have, let me think, they got Gomber going tonight, then they've got, Flaherty and Gant. So you got to feel pretty good about the Flaherty game.
Sure.
And you look at, you know, Daniel Norris is pitching for the, you know, 5.49 ERA tonight, and even Fulmer's 3-10 with a 4.57. And again, I know that's not everything, but he's not having the year that maybe you would think he would be having. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting, I guess, and we'll see how that goes. But I think there's still a lot of different issues to watch. You're right. How they use the designated hitter, what the bullpen looks like tonight. But overall, Cardinals are looking, you know, I said, they're a playoff team right now, and they're still a team. Now, you get past that wild card team, which is the difficulty. There's no doubt about it. Getting past that wild card game is difficult.
Crapshoot.
But if you do that, and you look at this team and how it's been able to win series, I just don't think anybody in the National League that's going to be in the playoffs, obviously that means nobody else either, outclasses them by a whole lot. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to go and beat everybody, but I think they can play with anybody if Flaherty and them are going well.
No, I completely agree. The Cardinals are in a good spot. I mean, even if they're pushed to the limit at 162 to where you have to throw a Flaherty, I'm pretty confident with Michaelis in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in a fairly tight spot. I think the Cubs kind of have that luxury too with Hamels and Lester a little bit, but it's kind of few and far between after that to be able to roll that guy out and not be at a disadvantage. You know, saying if you have to throw, you know, you're Flaherty late. So yeah, I completely agree with you. They're just a different team. I'm going to be glad. I think they've missed Wong. I think that when you look at it, I think it's one of those situations to where just cohesiveness with him in there. He's the equivalent of Bader in the outfield, and he's just such a difference maker. Defensively, and he's hit, you know, with his confidence back, he's hit and he hasn't hurt him. And on the base, you know, I love him as a base runner. I love Munoz. I just think he's miscast as second baseman, but he's playing because he's just going where his bat plays, mm-hmm. essentially. I love Munoz because he hit his way onto the team, and I've said that from the beginning. I really like him, and he hasn't hurt himself, and I felt like he's improved all year to where he's a factor. But I still think that Jerko can do the same to the team that Wong has done as far as that's the lineup when he's there. So I'm looking forward to getting him back if he can. To answer your question, I think they are good, and I think they're the top of the class. I mean, it's the wild card out of the Central is in all reality is going to have the second best record in the league. Mm. You know, if that tells you anything, and that's with the Cardinals having a terrible first half per se.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's a good chance of. I mean, they're running right around the same record as the Braves and the Rockies are right now. That National League West, it seems like every time I look, somebody else is leading that division. So, but you're right. They're going to be right there with a very good chance of having that second best record. You know, and it could be like it was in 2015 where the top three records come out of the National League Central. They won't be 198 and 97 or whatever it was that year, but they'll still be pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of wish you could see what this team would look like if they had played like they did this in August or since the All-Star break beforehand, if they could have, you know, put some of those wins together. And again, I don't know that that there was a lot of reasons for that. There was a lot of different issues, and I gotta say, one of the most interesting things to me is seeing how Greg Holland has pitched well in Washington and not in St. Louis. And I know he said I saw an article something about, you know, he kind of took some time that time between the two teams and maybe reset mentally, but I don't know. I don't know if the pressure got to him trying to prove that he needed to be able to pitch. I don't know what the deal was, but he's obviously pitched much better for the Washington. We saw him get a win in that series against the Cardinals on the game on Monday. So, you know, but if you don't have that, you know, how does the bullpen look if you don't have to try to accommodate Greg Holland? And you know, just that one play right there, you know, could that be the difference? Who knows? I mean, there'll be time to discuss that in the off season as we hopefully don't have to worry too much about it. But, you know, as you were saying, we kind of talked about this a little bit beforehand. If the Cardinals, you know, Cardinals are two games up right now on the Dodgers, but if for some reason they don't make the playoffs, they hit a little bump, the Dodgers play well, Dodgers sneak in, or the Arizona sneaks in ahead of them, one of the two. Somebody sneaks in past them. Is the blame more on how they play these next 3 weeks, if they've not played well? I mean, they play good but not great. Or is the blame more on the first couple of months, where if they had won two or three games that they should have won back then, they wouldn't have this problem?
Well, the way that I look at that is, it would be different if you start, if you're a few games short and you never got in a spot where you went in the first place. Mm-hmm. And now they're in a spot to where 20 some odd games, low 20s at this point, to where you've got a 2-game lead. I do worry about the Dodgers series just because it's 4 games, but it's in St. Louis. But other than that, I think that right now you control your own destiny. To where if you keep your head above water, you're in a pretty good spot. So I would be disappointed. I would probably factor that in more toward now. But I would much rather see them in a better position by not having the 6 weeks of poor baseball in the, you know, in the middle of the first half of the season, of course.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. I think, you know, now that they've played well enough to get there, you know, if they don't play well enough, and I guess it does depend. I mean, if they go 5-15, then wow, yeah, you got to blame it on this last bit. But if they go, you know, there's 22 games left. If they go 12-10, they go 13-9, and the Dodgers just wind up going, you know, 15-10 or whatever it may be, or 15-5. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. Then I think to some degree you tip your hat and then you say we should have won more games earlier. But you're right. There is a difference between getting close but not quite, and then having it and losing it. That's a big deal. Today, I think we've kind of reached where we want to reach on the 2018 Cardinals. But today, as we're recording this, you know, honestly, almost 20 years to the day, being that it was an afternoon game that day. Mark McGwire hits number 61 on Labor Day, that Monday, September 7th, first inning off of Mike Morgan. Next day, of course, hits 62, against Steve Traxel, and, in the primetime game on Fox. Alan, you and I talked a lot about McGwire, and the race and things of that nature back in the off season when we were doing our favorite Cardinal countdown and reached him. But I mean, especially for 61 and 62, what do you remember? Where were you? That kind of thing, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's, I can't believe it's 20 years ago. 61 was funny because yes, it was that afternoon, and we had been running around, and it was kind of appointment television, you know, at my house. You know, I was in school at the time, of course, I mean, 20 years ago, but yeah, I remember that one, and that was the one. It was almost the bigger tearjerker with the family and the crowd, you know, after he hit it and went over, and it was such a big deal. 62. 62 was that Tuesday night, and that was the primetime game, if you remember. And, yeah, that was appointment television. That was one I really don't have much of a juicy story. That was just what I was banking my night on, you know, watching how it played out. So, yeah, it's still baffling that it seems that long ago. It doesn't seem that long ago, but it was. I mean, he's had a full coaching career since then. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty crazy. But, well, man, it was a special time. Brings back a lot of memories.
It was.
Still get a kick out. Not to cut you off. No. I still get a kick out of after he hit 61, getting the high five from Grace at first base. I've always thought that was funny. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, 62, he's getting hugs around the base pass.
Well, Traxel was mad about that one.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I don't think Morgan cared, you know, with 61, but yeah. I've always got a kick out of that one. It reminded me, I saw the video this morning, and I was like, I forgot that he got the big handshake and fist bump from Grace for 61.
Yeah, well, and Sosa is out in the outfield doing it. Mm-hmm. Of a little, you know, he was a restrained one because it was,
yeah.
But gave him a little bit of a thing. It was pretty wild. You're right. It doesn't seem like it's been 20 years. It's also hard to believe that, you know, what, 3 years after that, McGuire was done. I mean, it was the 2001 season where he was, you know, injured, and La Russa had to keep, you know, putting him into game. He could only pinch hit, and it had to be at a moment where he could hit a home run, or he'd start the game and get the first inning of that, and then be pulled. I mean, La Russa's done a lot of crazy things like that, and you know, that was just 3 years later. So it's kind of amazing to think that it's, you know, and you're right. You've had a lot has happened in those 20 years. I mean, you had the whole, you know, Bonds thing, and you had the testimony on Capitol Hill, and I'm not here to talk about the past, and then you had him coming back as a Cardinal coach and addressing all this stuff and confessing, and then being the Cardinal coach, being a Dodgers coach, being a Padres coach, and now bench coach, and possibly going to be a manager. Yeah, I think 61 was amazing because he hit 61 on his dad's 61st birthday with his dad in the stands. You know, he kind of ruined giving presents for your dad anytime. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Mark McGuire hit a record home run, you know. How are you going to top that one? You know, set a high standard. But, yeah, watching 62 that night, you know, they put it on prime time, and I don't know. Kind of got them posted up tomorrow, and I'll talk about it, but I don't know if Fox would have continued to do that. I don't know how that was going to happen. I don't know if they're going to just put every game on primetime TV until McGuire hit the record, but, I mean, just think about that. I mean, a baseball game on primetime TV, I mean, early September, so I don't know. You know, nowadays shows don't start till more like late in September, but I feel like back then they were, you know, that was some of when the new seasons were starting to roll out, and they're preempting some of that stuff for a baseball game that, you know, I mean, when was the last time you saw a baseball game, a night baseball game that wasn't the playoffs on a station that wasn't ESPN or MLB? I mean, it doesn't happen. I don't think they did it for Bonds, even.
Oh, no. That was a big deal. I don't even think. I can't remember if the tying homer, if it was on. I know it was all West Coast, of course, but I don't remember that. And I remember getting preempted in somebody telling me that the hockey game, all they did was break away to show that. So I don't think they did the same thing with McGuire that they did with Bonds. And of course, there was such a cloud over that one. I mean, yeah. I get it. The only time that I do remember this, Daniel, it was right before the strike in 94. Do you remember when ABC started bringing back Monday Night Baseball?
Yeah, and that's true. But it was,
and they started to do it because that was such a big deal for my friends and I. You know, where we lived in the country, that you know, we would all get together and watch those. You know, other than the Cardinals broadcast, which we'd watch all the time, but we thought that was a big deal when they did that, and they were really pushing for that's where all no one wanted the strike, but you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And they were trying to beef up interest and all that good stuff. But, yeah, that's the last time that I do remember that.
Well, and they'd also set up that what they called the Baseball Network, which obviously not MLB Network. That was years in advance. But the Baseball Network was a combination of NBC, ABC, or whatever. And, you saw it in the playoffs. Of course, you didn't see it in 94 because of the strike. But 95, you saw it. It was kind of a hodgepodge. You didn't really know which channel was what, or people hit this, people did that, and it didn't last very long. But I think that was some of that was bringing back Monday Night Baseball in that regard. I think 95 and Cal Ripken's streak, I want to say it was on ESPN.
Yeah, it was.
I think I remember seeing Bonds. It was either 70 or 70, one of them, 70 or 71, I watched it. But it was on ESPN, I'm pretty sure. Of course, he played for the Giants. Mm-hmm. They were always on the West Coast, And this was, fair for Bonds. It was two weeks after 9/11. I mean, 2-3 weeks after 9/11. Their schedules have been rearranged and stuff. It wasn't the same. The country wasn't in the same place, I guess. It would have been very difficult to say, hey, we're going to put a baseball game on.
That's true.
Surprisingly, they didn't do that they could have done that for the Mets, I guess, returning to New York after the attack. But anyway,
was the record tied or broken during the day with Bonds?
It was night. I'm pretty sure they were all.
I do remember the one of his bombs I thought was during the day. But it may have been a night game. I don't know. The one I saw,
like I said, it could have been just 70. I want to say he hit 70. He hit 70 and 71 in the same game. I'm not 100% sure. I want to say that that was a late night. I had the game on. It was on ESPN. I really didn't want to watch it. It was like Houston or something they were playing. I'm not even. No, that could be right. That's not right.
Yeah, well, he did he break it against the Nationals?
I don't remember.
Lannon? I can't remember. For some reason, that seems like it was during the day. But I will be honest with you. I didn't follow that one as...
No.
And there's no way I followed that one as close.
What I was just about to say. We are... I imagine Giants fans know where they were at for 71 and 72, 73, all that kind of stuff. And... I imagine that they followed that better than we did.
And that's the thing is I even liked Bonds. You know what I mean? I thought Bonds was a talent. Yeah, big time. I mean, it was just crazy. I was like, that guy would get one pitch a game to hit and he'd hit it out. One of those. Yeah. He was just crazy. But it's still, the West Coast makes that much difference, and I hate saying that. But it wasn't the same. The chase in 98 was magical, and this one just seemed ho-hum.
Yeah, it was a lot of the West Coast. It was a lot of everything else going on. And I know for me personally, before, as the season bowled on, big McGuire fan, just seeing this huge record come down 3 years before, I didn't want to see him break the record. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to see anybody break the record, but I did, you're right. I liked Barry Bonds before all this, but let's be fair, his reputation wasn't all that great. He wasn't ambassador for baseball like Sosa and McGuire were going to be, and again, that was just at the time what we're thinking. We kind of knew that the end was probably coming for McGuire, although we didn't know it was going to be that year. I had no urge to see Bonds. I remember watching 70, whichever one I was watching, then 70, 71, whichever one, being very disappointed that he did it. But you knew it was like McGuire. I mean, it was like, unless he went into this slump, because it was like a week or something, he hit it with like a week or so left. You knew he was going to get it. He was too close not to. But still didn't mean I was happy about it.
You had to enjoy it. Yeah.
Because we did. That year of 98 was just so much for most of us, to go through and to follow it and see this progression and to see it was a record that had stood since 61. I mean, this wasn't, that's the other thing that worked against Barry Bonds was, McGuire hit 70 in 98. He hit 65 in 99. you know, here comes Bonds in 2001, in 73. It's like everybody's like, okay, this is just the new normal, you know? It's like, you know, it's a big deal. But it can't capture the imagination when it doesn't have that kind of history behind it. It's like, okay, it's just another thing. Now, you know, say, that's 2000. That was 2001, right? Bonds did that. I keep talking about it, but I'm pretty sure it was 2001. If I'm wrong, then people are like laughing at me, the whole thing.
They're tuning us out at this point.
Yeah, you know. But, yeah. You know, now, I mean, if somebody tried to do that now, it's been 17 years. The game is significantly different. You know, I mean, where people don't even, not necessarily are they going to get to 50. I mean, we saw Giancarlo Stanton last year hit 59, and people were pretty excited about that, trying to watch it.
You know, and it was 2001.
It was a 2000?
2001.
2001, okay.
Yeah, you were right.
Good. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not completely crazy. Yeah, I knew that because it was around the tax, so I knew that. But, I mean, if somebody did that now, I think it would have not necessarily the same impact that McGuire did, but it would have more of an impact than Bonds did, just because it's had 17 years to sit. You know, and of course, baseball's in a different place in the national culture. I mean, we talk about baseball a lot as a very regional game now, as people, I'll admit, I know Mike Trout's the best player in baseball, but I've hardly ever seen him because, you know, I couldn't tell you that from my personal opinions because I don't, you know, they don't come play St. Louis. I don't see them, you know, that's really about the way it is. But I remember, you know, watching '62 with my parents. I remember the next day looking for, you know, memorabilia. I mean, and I was in Arkansas. I wasn't there where I could go to the stores and line up and buy stuff. And there was a little company that was out of St. Louis, and they were making stuff. And I got a shirt and a hat from them, and I don't think it was the official shirt. I may have gotten the official shirt too. I had the shirt that had McGuire on the front with a lot of baseballs and the list of, you know, pitchers and everything on the back. I still have the hat that says McGuire 62 on it or something like that, you know, a number of things. And it's just, and that was, you know, that for me, that was the first year I'd been out. I was working and it was, you know, just kind of that, you know, coming into your own type of thing. I guess that helped make it, you know, if McGuire was doing that today when I have two kids, I mean, yeah, I'd probably still, because we're doing the blogging, we're doing the podcast, and we'd be talking about it all the time, but I don't know if it would have had the same impact as it did just at that point in life. But, you know, a lot of people have had the same thing. I'm writing, getting the post up for tomorrow that's got everybody's, you know, responded to me and tell me where they were. It was that kind of thing where you just knew where you were and you'll never forget that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you sent that out, like, get the stories, I was thinking, you know what? Mine weren't that juicy, you know, but just because it meant so much to me to be by the TV. I remember me and my buddies calling each other because there was no texting or anything at that point. Just so fired up where we were going to get together and watch the game. So it wasn't juicy, but it does bring back so many memories. And then I started thinking of guys I hadn't talked to in forever. And, you know, that's what things like this do. You know, it brings everybody together, brings back memories. But I hope that speaks volumes of how special that it actually was.
Yeah, it should. And I mean, again, I'm not, most people's, I mean, some people's stories are better than others. Some people were there. Some people were, you know, they had somebody that, you know, their brother was born that earlier that day, so they're at the hospital. Mm. You know, there's people that were serving in the military.
Well, in Card's story, I don't know if you saw his post. That was pretty substantial.
I did, but it's
Card. Yeah, it was. No. It was in a joke. I mean, I guess his dad died that
no,
day.
No.
You know, one of those situations. I was like,
no,
wow.
I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, or something similar. So, I'll text him or message him after this and just kind of tell him. But I may have gotten it wrong, and I wouldn't be able to find it in time. But it's one of those to where you're just like, well, man, you know, it's what a big moment.
Yeah, yeah, it is a huge thing. So, it was pretty. it was pretty crazy. And it, you know, again, we remember what we were doing with Freeze's home run. There are times in baseball where you remember, but if you were around, and then that's what hurts me so much. There's a good chunk of the fandom that we, you know, we interact with on Twitter and things like that that don't remember this because they were that young, you know?
Yeah.
Not even born. I mean, we've got Graham, that Jammer Jacoby, that writes for us at the Conclave. Wasn't even born then. And it's like, oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
But, you know, and to some degree, it's a little bit of disappointment for them. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like us hearing about Roger Maris and that race from our parents of, you know, what did, you know, to see him, you know, pulling his hair out and things of that nature. And how did they go about tracing that, you know, getting the newspapers and stuff like that? You know, we got to live through that little bit of moment in time, and it's great. And, you know, I'm sure this generation that's coming up and these people will have something like that. You know, hopefully they'll have a Cardinal, you know, some of them have the David Freeze home run. Some of them will maybe have some other moment. But I don't know. Well, I don't know if we'll ever see. I mean, I'm sure we will, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, Stanton last year with 59 again. I don't know that you see a sustained story like McGuire was. Mm-hmm. And especially getting that foil of having it be a race, having it be against Sosa. Because we sometimes forget, some people may, you know, and I was looking at it. He hit 62, and then he didn't hit another home run for a week. And Sosa caught him, and it was at 62 all.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, up in the last weekend, Sosa passed him. Sosa hit 66 about 45 minutes before McGuire did. So, you know, for that brief amount of time, it was 66-65. And, you know, you're coming down to the end of it, and, you know, easy enough to say, look, I broke the record. But, you know, he rallied. He hit another home run, and he hit a home run that day, and then hit, if I'm remembering right, he hit two home runs in the last, each game, the last day of the season, the last two games of the season. I mean, I know he hit 69 and 70 on the last day. I think he hit 67 and 68 the day before. It was wild. And I don't know that we'll ever see, like I said, I don't know that we'll ever see that kind of perfect storm come together. And it was such a year. I mean,
yeah.
98, you know, you had, about this time 20 years ago, here in about a few weeks, Cal Ripken stopped his streak. You had, you know, I think it was a David Cone or David Wells perfect game that year. David Wells, I think. You know, the Yankees won 116 games. Kerry Wood had the 20 strikeout game back there mm-hmm. the year. I mean, so much. I've got a book over here sitting here, actually written by Tim McCarver, called The Perfect Season, and McCarver's name's on it. He's got a writer with him. But yeah, just about all the things that happened that year, and you put it all together, and it's like, this was insane. I mean, you could
win the game, and quite possibly when the game needed it the most.
Yeah. I mean, that really helped.
No.
No, that's what we talk about. McGuire and Sosa saving baseball. I mean, he got that boost with Cal Ripken breaking the streak in 95, but that kind of put it into overdrive. And then, you know, it's still a very vibrant game, even though it's a little bit different. It's not, and then an approach than some others, because like I said, it's more of, I mean, you talk about regional. I mean, you look at St. Louis and it's like every night, what, 20-30% of the TVs are tuned to Fox Sports Midwest and, you know, something like that. And the places around the country, it's like that too. You know, they're following their team. But it just makes it harder to follow, you know, you're not going to get national ratings for games as well, but I don't know. Anyway, it was a fun time. It was an exciting time. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years. And it's good to kind of look back at that. I've got that realized last night. I've got the DVD of that game over here on one of these sets. So maybe we'll pull it out this weekend.
Yep.
Watch a little bit of it. So anyway, before we wrap, did I miss anything about the current Cardinals you'd like to discuss?
I don't think so. I wanted to throw this out, and this could be a long discussion. You can give me a yes or a no. Has Gant surpassed Weaver in next year's rotation?
Gant, Preston. I
Gant or Gomber. It's going to be tough not to start one of those two.
Well, yeah, remember you got Reyes coming back next year.
Well, no, yeah, so. I was thinking there's going to going to be some interesting decisions.
Yeah.
And I wonder. I still think they can handle that with kids' gloves, and we can wait till the off season to kind of talk about this one. But
yeah, I think if you just look at those two, I think it's a really good possibility. I don't know where Luke Weaver stands somewhat in this organization.
That would be a name that I could see moved for his benefit and the Cardinals.
Yeah. But, you know, then again, I mean, he could just be continuing to develop. I mean,
yeah, he's first rounder.
Yeah, we kind of expect these guys to just come in and just pitch like crazy, but there are some adjustments that can be made, and he does have moments where he's looking very good.
Yeah, I expected him to have a season. He's somewhere in the middle of a Flaherty-type Michaelis season. I really thought he'd take the next step this year, and I was really high on that. So, you know, maybe it, just a step back. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, we will see. So, all right. Well, Alan and I will be back at you next week. It's hard to believe. But look, so we're looking at three more shows before the end of the season, or at least the regular season. Hopefully we got some more postseason shows to do, but it is coming to that point. Like I say, 22 games left. All three game series except for that four gamer against the Dodgers next week, which could be a big thing as well. But Alan and I should be back with you next week, and we'll talk about the Tigers, we'll talk about the Pirates, we'll talk about Adam Wainwright's return. We'll look a little bit at this Dodger series, and hopefully we're still talking about a playoff Cardinal baseball team. So until then, for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!